blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 125, the first two stanzas. O royal bride, give heed, and to my words attend, for Christ the King forsake the world and every former friend. 1 and 2 of 125.
Scripture reading for this afternoon will be from the second book of Samuel, and there of chapter 13, the first 20 verses. But first we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 2 Samuel 13, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass after this, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, Lay thee down on thy bed, and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come, and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it, and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down, and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come, and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, Go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down. And she took flour and kneaded it, and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, Have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, Bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thy hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made, and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her, and said unto her, Come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, Arise, be gone. And she said unto him, There is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. But he would not hearken unto her. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him, and said, Put now this woman out from me, and bolt the door after her. And she had a garment of divers colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. Then his servant brought her out, and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of divers colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, Hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Thus far the reading of God's holy word.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, what is now sufficient to pay that price? For such sins in the midst of this world and within our own hearts, because that subtle Jonadab that lives within the heart of each and every one. O Lord, there is a fountain thou sayest open for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, could it be for us also? For thou hast said unto thy people that they had forsaken thee in the fountain of living waters, and they had hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that could hold no water. But we need a fountain. We need an ocean. We need a river that continues to flow. Oh, there is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God. Oh, it is for cleansing. It is for forgiveness, to take away all the sin and all the pollution, the corruption, the wretchedness, all the consequences of our fall, everything that is connected therewith. But Lord, thou knowest also those that are abused. Oh, we bring them, each one of them, before thee in a special way in this afternoon hour. For we do not know all who that they are. But these sins, they are going through the world. And they are going through our own denomination. Oh, may it not be our own congregation. But oh, that thou may remember all such, because thou knowest that they suffer, as some of the most devastating consequences of sin in the midst of this world. Oh, thou knowest the questions. Thou knowest the hurt. Thou knowest the desolation. Oh, it can be even anger against thee for allowing all these things to happen unto them. O Lord, from the side of men, oh, we can understand it all. But it is also sin in their hearts. Oh, give them to perceive the hand of God in everything. Oh, give them that blessed place of bowing before thee, and that thou may always uphold them in their suffering, and that thou mayest give them to come to thee with it. Oh, to bring it to thy footstool. What they are not able to have made right in this world anymore. Oh Lord, thou art able to be near unto them. We beseech thee for them in thy mercy. And those who do such wicked acts, oh, we beseech thee for them also. For Lord, that wickedness lies deep down in all of us. and they have a conscience, or that they may be given not to step on it, and that they may be given a place to come also before thee with their guilt, and before men also with their guilt, when that is still possible in this world, or that thou may bring them to true repentance, or that there may be restoration, that there may be healing. O Lord, these are persons that we so often forget, and those that suffer such things, oh, they are often feeling so alone. Oh, that thou may care for them in all their trials, and that thou may be near unto them. Oh, look upon us in this hour, and when we are standing before our congregation, and then we must explain and proclaim and preach thy holy law. And Lord, then we need in this hour such a wisdom that we do not have. Oh, we beseech thee, and that thou may be with our mouth in these moments, and that thou mayest give ears to hear, to each and every one of us, the children and also the youth in a special way, and that are inundated all about them with these sins in our days in a special way from that monster from hell. Oh, Lord, put him away. Cast him into that eternal pit. Put a fence and put a wall about our youth, and keep them from iniquity and from those pollutions that will go with them to the end of their life. O Lord, thou art holy. Thou art also just. Remember us all together in our filthiness, in our pollution, in our corruption, in our guilt, in our fallen state, and oh, raise us up in and through the blood of thy dear Son, and not only to forgive, but also to wash and to renew, or that we may become new creatures, and that we may desire and one day be given the true and actual ability to live holy and without iniquity and without sin in the least part. Oh, make us pure, Lord. Cleanse, oh, cleanse us from our sins. Care for all the needy, our grandchild in the hospital, others in the hospital, those receiving treatments, and the needy of mind, and the needy of addictions. Oh, Lord, thou knowest their places near and far away. Care for each one that has burdens and that they bear in a lonely way between thee and their soul. Oh, give them to cry unto the living God and to know that thou livest. Care for our school in all the needs of this time wherein we are living. Help the school board. Help the teachers. Provide teachers and give what is necessary for our students. Bless the labors. Be with us in this hour, forgiving all of our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 41, stanzas 1, 2, and 4 through 7. Most perfect is the law of God, restoring those that stray, His testimony is most sure, proclaiming wisdom's way. 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, and 7 of Psalter 41.
Thank you.
Beloved congregation, how great was the misery of Tamar after she was defiled by her brother Amnon. We read, so Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Desolate. That means deflowered. That is ravaged. That is devastated. She put ashes upon her head. And she rent that beautiful garment of diverse colors that was the garment of her virginity. She laid her hand, we read, on her head and went on crying. That was, congregation, a chaste woman. Chaste woman. But her honor was laid in the dust. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house, in her grief, in her solitude, in her brokenness, robbed of her honor and of all the joy and the pleasantness and the blessedness of a virgin in her life. Tamar's lot is next in degree to death itself. That is felt by such persons. Today we understand that such persons are four times more likely to commit suicide than other girls. And therefore this seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, is placed next to the one that is before it, that is, thou shalt not kill. Why? Because it is next in importance. It is next in its severity. Indeed, what is the Lord's commandment concerning the punishment for adultery? That is the same as his commandment concerning the punishment for murder. That is death. And today, that is, of course, all taken away. But that penalty is just because the life of a person, we say what it means to live, that is then taken away. What did Tamar say? Whither shall I cause my shame to go? Where shall it go? How can I ever get rid of it? And as for thee, she says, my brother, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Murder is an attempt to interfere with God's populating the earth with mankind. So is this sin of adultery. All the sins that are against chastity, they are sins that are against the family. And the family is the foundation of society. Thus, the sins against chastity are the destruction of the family. And as such, they are also the destruction of the entire society, degrading society and bringing it down to the level of the beasts. This, with the Lord's help, and this afternoon we wish to consider out of our next Lord's Day, Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 41, God's law, the seventh commandment concerning chastity. First, the duty of chastity. In question and answer 108, what doth the seventh commandment teach us? That all uncleanness is accursed of God, and that therefore we must with all our hearts detest the same and live chastely and temperately, whether in holy wedlock or in single life. That is the duty of chastity. Second, the extent of chastity. Question and answer 109. Doth God forbid in this commandment only adultery and such like gross sins, since both our body and soul are temples of the Holy Ghost? He commands us to preserve them pure and holy. Therefore, he forbids all unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice men thereto. So far our Lord's Day. God's law, the seventh commandment concerning chastity, first the duty, and second the extent of chastity. What doth the seventh commandment teach us? That all uncleanness is accursed of God. Does this uncleanness is referring to the relations in this world between the male and the female. Thus the Lord is demanding chastity or a moral purity. And what is the basis of that demand? That is God's purity. That is that God is holy and that he has created man also holy. Because the Lord says that he has created man in his image. And what is his image? That is knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And thus chastity, this moral purity, belongs unto this holiness. Man was, when he was created, we read, naked and not ashamed. How can that be? Congregation, his soul was so pure that there was not in his intellect one thought that was evil, that was polluted. There was not in his affections any desire. There was not in his will anything that did think evil. And had man been kept from sin, so he would have been able to dwell in the midst of this world with such a pure mind, with such a pure soul, that he could live in that same way in which God had created Adam and Eve. Thus it is an exhibition of the great purity and holiness of God, and that is an exhibition of the height in which God has created you and I. Sin has changed all of this, and it has changed it so incurably from the side of man that there is only one partial remedy temporal remedy, practical remedy for this. And what is that? That is clothing. Clothing. But there is more, because God has chosen this marriage relation that he has made Adam and Eve in to be a picture. That is to be a picture of the relation that is between Christ and his church. And that relation between Christ and his church is a holy relation. Thus, the least violation against this commandment is a violation not only against the law, but it is also a violation against the gospel. That is actually to denigrate the pattern that God has given. In the midst of this world, that we may know something of who he is. And that is to cultivate among men blasphemous notions as if Christ could be involved in a polluted relation with mankind. Young people, the word chastity in the Greek language comes from a word that means to adorn. Oh, are you adorned with this chastity? Paul says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Thus modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. So what is that? Shamefacedness. It's a sense of shame. It's a sense of honor. It's actually a reverence, a regard for other people, because shame and honor that has to do with other people, what your name is with other people. So it is in regard to others that is actually why we dress. That is not for ourselves, but that is for others, for whom especially. Why do we dress? It is especially congregation for Job. For Job. Are there Jobs yet in this world? Because Job had a warfare inside of him. In his heart. And he had to make a covenant with his eyes. He had to put a cover on his eyes. A covenant that says, I will not look. And why will I not look? Because I am evil. I cannot look. For Job. Revealing clothing. What is that? Revealing clothing. That actually is a contradiction, isn't it? Revealing clothing. Because what has God given clothing to do? That is not to reveal. But that is to cover. Thus, revealing clothing is a sin against God. Revealing clothing is from hell. Satan unclothing what God says must be clothed. Revealing clothing. That is, congregation, of an offense against our fellow man. Our fellow man who has a warfare. And that offense is very, very close to murder. To murder. Why? Because the command of the Lord for adultery is death. Death. And thus, when we are a cause of this sin in other people, that is very, very close, that is next in line, very next to that sixth commandment. Because if a man will continue in his adulterous thoughts, the Bible says that an adulterer shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Thus, it is provoking. Provoking what? Lust. Lust. When we are provoked, what are we supposed to do? If your neighbor sin offend thee, what are you supposed to do? You are supposed to go to your neighbor and tell him or her. Yeah. It's not so easy, is it? Right, girls? It would not be so easy for a man to do that, would it? And so I am going to help them today. I'm going to say it right from here. To everyone, and that is not only to the girls, but I am going to say it right from here, also to the boys, also to the men. Why? Because Satan works very, very strange and wicked bedfellows. That is what the Apostle Paul says, men with men, working that which is unseemly. And now the fashions of our day, they have the devil at their foundation. Also regarding men, that the clothing is made with that particular intent to provoke lustful thoughts. That is directly contrary to the reason that God has instituted clothing for his fallen creature. That was to take away lustful thoughts. Thus, in our clothing, and when we make a choice of our clothing, men and women, then we must ask ourselves whether this piece of clothing is now according to the Word of God. Will it take away from my neighbor any lustful thought that all uncleanness is a curse of God, and that we therefore must with all our hearts detest the same and live chastely and temperately, whether in holy wedlock or in single life. Chastity concerns holy wedlock and single life. Marriage, according to the Word of God, is an institution of God especially for those, the Bible says, who cannot contain. It is in the Word of God laid out to us as a remedy for burning. Burning is a blessing from heaven. That is the way, the manner in which God will continue the human race. Because without it, long ago the entire human race would have been completely extinguished. But what has Satan done with this blessing of God? The Apostle Paul says that married persons have a debt. A debt that is not to please themselves, but that they might please one another. And that it may be also as a remedy for burning, that lust may not go rampant sinfully in the midst of this world. All intimate relations outside of marriage are sin, with the causes and also with the occasions. Our fathers say we must with all our hearts detest the shame. There are very few legal restrictions to mankind anymore in the world and in the nations in which we are living. But Satan is glorifying these sins in a special way to take advantage of the blessings that the Lord has given unto man, that he may turn all those blessings into sin and that it may be for his destruction. We think about the worldly entertainment of today, the pictures of today, the movies of today. What is it? It is all, congregation, a work of the devil. And that devil is as subtle as Jonadab, because he has brought all this right young people into our pockets with its very, very powerful temptations. And what does Christ say in his word? He says, watch, watch. Oh, are we watching? Are we watching, fathers? Are we watching, mothers? The world is full of the cries and the tears of Tamar. But there are things that go before the commission of such deeds. And now it is also those things that we need to be watching for. Because once those deeds happen, congregation, they cannot be undone. No, it will never be the same for Tamar. Not as long as that she lives in this world. Why is chastity of such great importance to the church? Paul says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, and which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? That is the reason, congregation, that the Lord has commanded that the sin of adultery is punishable by death. In our lands, it is not only not punishable by death, but there is no punishment at all for it. More than that, it is legal. Then you see how far that the Lord has given in our sin, and that the devil may reign in the world in which we are. Jeremiah says they are like fed horses in the morning, everyone neighing after his neighbor's wife. And what did the Lord say about that? He says, shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord, and shall my soul not be avenged on such a nation as this? Or our nation, our nations, they are being visited. They are being judged by God, because we see all around us the destruction of the family in the first place. And as we watch the family being destroyed, then we watch also the entire society in which we are living being reduced to the level of the animals. Who can deny that? It is a destruction of society. It is a destruction of the nations. Paul says, I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators. Fornicators, that does not speak about falling into that sin and repenting of that sin. That he says we should not company with a fornicator, because then we could company with no one, because we have all fallen into sin. But then he is speaking about persons who are living in those sins. That is, living in the sin of homosexuality, living in the sin of whoredom, living in the sin of prostitution, and they are the sins of fornication. Fornication is between unmarried persons. That is actually a lesser degree of adultery that has to do with the defilement of the body, but it is not the same as adultery, because it is not breaking the marriage bond. But now this fornication, that is a sin. Sometimes also our young people are now falling into this sin. But congregation and young people, you know that it does not begin with the act, does it? You know where it begins? It begins with Jonadab in our heart. It begins with the subtlety which is in our heart. And that is, young people, where that this needs to be stemmed. That is where the guard needs to be put into place, because it begins with what is leading unto these sins. Often, too much privacy in places of temptation, and that we are allowed to be in while we are dating. Oh, be careful. Be careful, be careful. Moses says, if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. Sometimes we have the expression that says, oh, they have to get married. The congregation, we do also need to be careful here. And why is that? Because also in the Old Testament, and then it was possible that such persons did not marry, because the father was able, or that girl was able to say that it should not take place. And so a marriage cannot be based upon a sin. No, a marriage has to be based on love, A marriage has to be based on the fact that these two persons are fit to be together. And a marriage has to be based upon a covenant that is a promise to one another. And thus, if these foundations are lacking, then we can so see that so often that when we base it only upon a sin of fornication, that so often that those marriages are not happy, that they are not lasting. Or we would say, young people, oh, be careful. Flee fornication. Flee everything that leads, that tempts to this sin, not only in your deeds, but also that subtlety that is in your heart. Let us sing from Psalter 57, stanzas 2 and 3. What man shall the hill of Jehovah ascend, and who in the place of his presence attend? The man of pure heart and of hands without stain, who swears not to falsehood, nor loves what is vain, who swears not to falsehood, nor loves what is vain. 2 and 3 of Psalter 57. God's law, the seventh commandment concerning chastity. First, the duty of chastity. Second, the extent of chastity. What is that? That is how far that it extends. To what does this commandment of the Lord extend? Doth God forbid in this commandment only adultery and such like gross sins? Since both our body and soul are temples of the Holy Ghost, he commands us to preserve them pure and holy. Therefore, he forbids all unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice men thereto. Rarely, congregation, is the sin of adultery fallen into suddenly. That is possible. Sometimes that happens. But very typically it is following a certain lifestyle. And when our fathers say unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice men thereto, what are they doing? They're tracing the causes. What is now bringing about these sins? That is a help for us. Before we are left to come to the physical commission of such wickedness, that we would be stopped. Things that can entice. What is that? Is that a cause? Something that enticed me, that is not a cause. That is what we call an occasion of the sin. And why? Because without the desires that would be in our heart, that would have never caused us to sin. So that object, that picture, that thing, that circumstance, that is not in itself what caused me. I cannot cast any blame upon these things which can entice. So why does God forbid us those things which can entice thereto? That is in recognition of the sin of our hearts, that is in recognition of the desires that live in our heart. It is in recognition of the fallen nature of man with his sinful desires. Oh, do we also acknowledge that we cannot do everything, even that is lawful maybe, simply because we are not lawful, because we are evil, because we are wicked? It is because of that sinful nature that some things that are neutral in themselves actually become sin unto us, because we are able and we allow ourselves to be tempted. Solomon says, enter not into the path of the wicked. He says, go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Thus he is not talking about the sin itself, the deed itself, but he is talking about what comes before it and the temptation that will be before it. Occasions. Parents, you cannot keep your children. You cannot keep your youth. But you have an obligation concerning occasions. Where do you sleep? Where do your children sleep? Do you know what is happening in your own house? Are you sometimes going away? and you leave your children, your young people, at home all by themselves. Ah, these horrid sins of incest, they take place not only in the world. We have wicked hearts. We gave them to our children, and so they have wicked hearts too. Ah, may that never be heard, that such a thing has taken place in my own family, within my own house. Oh, parents, there are two things necessary to fall into sin. That is the desire and the opportunity. You can't take away the desire. But very often, you are able to do something, and not only able, but it is your obligation. It is your duty, no matter what our children want, to do something about the occasion, the opportunity. What are now the rules that you are setting in place? When your children, young people, they are dating one another, are they allowed now just to go into that home that they are building together and working together on by themselves? You say they're 18 years old, they're 19 years old. Yeah. Yeah. But there you have an occasion, and you have parents, a duty. You have an obligation also to do something that may be for the protection of your children. They will thank you. They will be thankful to you for the rest of their life. When you do your right duty, unchaste thoughts, oh girls, do you think that a man, especially a young man, no, any man, can look at you in your bathing suit without an unchaste thought? Think so? If Job could not, what do you expect of us? Are we more righteous than Job? We are not. We are not. None of us. We need congregation to be clothed. Always. Everywhere. Also in the water. That there may be no unchaste thoughts. Not in your thoughts, maybe, girls, but that is in the thoughts of others. Remember, what you do, you murder. You murder the persons that are around you. And if there are things that we are not able to do because of the evil that is living in men's hearts, so be it. So be it. But we are required to place ourselves under or within the boundaries that God has set for us after the fall. If there are things that we cannot do, if there are places that we cannot go, because of the evil of our hearts, after we have rebelled against God, then so be it. That is then the restriction that is placed upon us because of our own sin. But how much liberty does the Lord give to us within the boundaries that he himself has set for us after after the fall. They are actually boundaries to give to us our true freedom, to keep us from sin, that we may be free from sin, that we may be free from a horrible speaking conscience, and from everything that is flowing, all the misery that is flowing out of these sins. Oh, boys. What pictures? Do you look at? You will answer that? Not here. To him. Because Satan is working to destroy mankind. Satan is laboring to destroy the family. Satan is laboring to destroy society. And he can do it through destroying all chastity. All those pornographic pictures, they are destroying society. You say, I don't have any evidence. Just believe me. Just believe me. How many weeping husbands, how many weeping wives are there in the midst of this world who have lost all the blessedness of marriage? Ah, it's a blessed thing. Young people, it's a blessed thing when it is pure, when it is holy, when it is set apart. And now these, for so many people, couples, it's gone. It's gone. And they cannot get it back. It's from the devil. It's from the devil. All those things that the devil is trying to do, and that can have such a place in our heart when we are young and we do not know what the consequences are. Do you want to just keep going? Despite the warnings that you get from your mother and father, from your teachers, from your minister, do you want to just keep going? Solomon, he says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. He says, let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. Walk. Go ahead. Go ahead. That is what Solomon says. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Know thou. Unchaste thoughts. Unchaste words. What kind of language do we use? Is it vulgar language? Talking about those intimate matters that belong only between a husband and his wife. Sometimes young couples, married couples, they're getting together and they are visiting. And all together, they are speaking about these things. Congregation, when we do so, expect something to happen. Expect it. Because we invite ourselves to the pollution of adultery. Oh, young people, never mock, never play with those things that belong in a marriage. And never join with those boys and girls that are speaking unchaste words. That is sin against the seventh commandment. This is where these things begin. And when there is no stopping of them, then they come to their fruition in an end that will be to your destruction. Ah, it is a great judgment of God when he is withholding his restraining hand on man. And when he is letting man go, allowing him to work out his own destruction. Fornication, adultery, proceed out of our sinful hearts. But then there is progression. And when we see a progression, then we may know that God leaves us. When is there progression? Say, we all have a sinful heart. Yes. But there is now a progression when we are left to sins that are abhorrent even to a fallen man. That even fallen men in general can see, can feel the abomination of. Paul speaks about men with men working that which is unseemly, leaving the natural use of the woman and receiving in themselves that which is meet, that is the judgment of God. He calls them vile affections. And he says they are not only in men. He says they are also in women. Paul says it is against nature itself. It is an abominable sin. It is to be given over, Paul says, to a reprobate mind. Oh, that confounding of the sexes. That is, congregation today in our day is taken to heights that have never been before in the midst of this world. And that is a thing that is loathsome even to fallen men. That is now the thing which is so hateful to God. We read, have ye not read that he which made them male and female, made them at the beginning, made them male and female. And we want to make a male out of a female. Or we want to make a female out of a male. And you understand that this is the confounding of the ordinance of God. That is why that the Lord directs also our clothing. Because of the hatred that he has between the confounding of the sexes. What does man want? Man wants unisex clothing. Unisex. Clothing all must be the same for everyone, so that you can not tell the difference between a male and a female. That is man. But God says the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord. Oh, girls. You say, I wish it wasn't in the Bible. Is that what you say? Maybe you say, minister, just don't talk about it. Just don't talk about it. I cannot do that. You say, maybe explain it different. That there are women's pants and that there are men's pants. Cannot do that either. And why not? Because I have to appear before God. That is why. And you have to appear before him too. I know I cannot force you. I cannot force you. I have told you it many times. Some say I should say it more often. Some say I should say it less often. But I cannot force you. But I can warn you. And that is also what I must do, to warn you. But, I was thinking, it is also something that I do not understand. And that is that persons among us, you have a desire to be in church. You have a desire to walk, it seems, in every way according to the word of the Lord. Except in this thing. And then I say, why? Why? And then I say, maybe I need better to explain it. Maybe it is that you do not really understand why that this is. You will agree with me, I think, that God will have a clear distinction made between the male and the female. Do you agree with that? Do you agree that that comes now out of that holy word of God? That is a principle. God has made them male and female. And God says they must look now also in this world. You may not confound those things. Look how far that goes now today. You say, well, some societies, they have, they have different clothing everywhere. The Lord does not say that every place in the whole world must have the same kind of clothing. What does he say? He says that every place you go, that society must have a clear distinction between the man and the woman. That everyone can see it. Thus, the Lord has given two purposes to clothing. Not just one. It is not just to cover. It is not only modesty. That is one thing. There is a second thing. The second thing the Lord says that clothing must do is clearly distinguish between the man and the woman. And a society which blurs that distinction is a society that sins against the seventh commandment. This is what our society is doing. In every way, also in clothing, our society is sinning against that seventh commandment when it desires to make one out of male and female. You and I have a duty. We have an obligation before God to resist what society is here doing. Do you know what the Lord says? He says it is because of these sins, these kinds of sins, that the land of Canaan has spewed its inhabitants out of their land. This congregation in our land, If you had to say, young people, I'm going to design the clothing for a society, how would you make a distinction between a man and a woman? As the Lord says we must do. How would you do it? You think about it when you go home. But we have not just to deal with that. We have to deal with how it is today. In our society, what is that one piece of clothing, one piece, that distinguishes for us the male and the female? It's only one piece, and that is the skirt. I think that is undeniable. Let a man wear it, and every one of us will say, he makes himself feminine. That is what he's doing. He can wear all kinds of slacks, whatever kind of material, whatever it is. But when he puts on himself a skirt, then he makes himself feminine. And that is exactly why, ladies, that you may not take it off, that you may not be seen in this world by other persons without the mark of femininity, which we still have. Are you glad we still have it? Or do you wish for a society in which it was completely gone? Because it is going. It is leaving. And how do we want that now for our children? Oh, let us preserve what we have. Let us do according to that word of God. Let us distinguish for ourselves the male and the female before the whole world and that community in which we are living. Oh, and that God may bless us. And let our boys never want to be a girl. And let our girls never want to be a boy. And let us never intermingle in a sinful way, which is directly against that word of God. Today, young people, the boys say, well, I have a desire for another boy. What kind of desire is that? That is a sinful desire. The same as if a man who is married would have a desire for another man's wife that is also a sinful desire. And every sinful desire we need to fight against. We can sympathize with such persons, but that does not mean that we have a license to carry out those sinful desires that are living in our hearts. One more word. Husbands and wives, you are involved in the most blessed and precious relation that can be found still in the midst of this world. Cherish it. Cherish it. That is a relation that is a gift of God. That is a relation that is a type, a pattern of the relation between Christ and His church. Remember that. Also, with every disagreement that you may have between yourselves, that comes not on the street, that comes not in front of your children or other people, because then we destroy those blessed affections that are belonging to the home. Husband, when you love your wife and you give yourself for her, then you do a little bit of what Christ did for His church. A little bit. How do you think that is now for your wife? Oh, if she may in her heart think, that is now how Christ has given Himself for His people. And in her heart, a desire, a wish, a longing for another husband. Oh, what a blessing. Husbands, that you can be to your wife. Wives, when you submit against your will, not when it is your will, that's not so hard, but when it is against your will, that's hard. But when you may do so, you may do what is the most blessed thing that the church may do. When they may lay down their own will and they may do according to the will of that blessed greater husband. Oh, the Lord strengthen all of the marriage bonds that are in the midst of us. The Lord remember everyone who lives in a single life. And the Lord bless us. David's bones waxed old through his roaring all the day long. For what? Remember that, young people? For his adultery and parents. For his adultery, which led to murder. But when he confessed his transgression, then we read the Lord forgave the iniquity of his sin. There you have it. And all of this sin, which is living in all of our hearts, that one solution, All the Lord give us to know that solution to the salvation of our souls and to the union of our soul with that greater bridegroom. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, forgive all that may have been said wrong, and wilt thou bless thy holy word. Give us to walk according to thy will in all purity and in all chastity, and that thou may give to us a desire, and that we may lay down this life, which is so full of corruption and pollution in our hearts, and that we may desire that life, oh, that heavenly life, that will forever be delivered of all of this bondage to sin. Be with us in the rest of this thy holy day. Help us in all the week that lies before us, and wilt thou spare us each from sin, and from a sudden and an unprepared death. Care for those that are sick. Remember those that travel, also the older singles when they hope to travel, and be together for a few days. Watch over them also in that place and back and forth. Care for each one that travels in the midst of this world. Forgive, take away all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 141, 3 and 4. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, oh, cleanse me from my sin. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 140. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.